This story in the New Testament has always intrigued me. Here we have a naked man that is bound by demons. And as soon as Jesus steps out of that boat and into this non-Jewish territory, this naked man, this naked demon-possessed man approaches him. He comes to him and he falls at his feet and he begins shouting at Jesus, confessing that Jesus is the Son of the Most High God. You see, I'm sure that we have all encountered somewhere in our lives some very interesting folks in our times. I've seen a few myself. But I would dare say that most of us have not encountered a naked man, crazed man, who has fallen down at our feet, shouted at us, and has begged us to heal them. Yet Jesus does not seem surprised by this encounter. He's not disgusted. He's not embarrassed. Jesus doesn't try to avoid the man or to ignore him. Certainly, the man makes it difficult to be ignored, doesn't he? But instead of smiling pathetically at this man and excusing himself, Jesus asks him, "What is your name? What is your name?" And then the demons ask Jesus to cast them out of the man into a large herd of pigs. So Jesus gives the demons permission to leave that man's body and enter into those pigs that are eating on the hillside. The pigs then, of course, rush down the bank, fall into the lake, and drown. You see, I can understand why the men cared for those pigs might be a little upset. After all, the pigs were their livelihood. But why are the people in the city and of the country so upset? Are they angry because their supply of pork is gone? I don't think so. Perhaps, maybe, but I really don't think so. The people's fear and anger did not originate with the pigs drowning. That's not when it happened. The pigs drowning got their attention. That would get anybody's attention. But it didn't spark their anger. I think I would have been afraid of a bunch of pigs running off a bank and plunging in the water and drowning. I think that would have probably scared me a little bit too. But however, the people became afraid when they saw the man. When they saw the man who had once been possessed by demons. When they saw him clothed and in his right mind sitting at the feet of Jesus. Wow. That's when they began to be afraid, whenever he began to do what? Look like them. You see, this man was healed, and yet the people are afraid of Jesus. They ask Jesus to leave. And of course, this man wants to go with Jesus. Not only does he want to follow Jesus, but he probably wants to get away from all that scrutiny that he'll be facing, because he's been facing it his whole life. Because he's been a man that has had something that's possessing him, that he's lived amongst the tombs in the hillsides where they were carved out. He lived amongst the bones of the dead people. That's where he lived. He wasn't welcomed. And now here he is, healed and cleaned and clothed, sitting at the feet of Jesus and wanting to go with Jesus. But guess what? Jesus granted the demons what they wanted by casting them into the pigs. But Jesus does not grant the man permission to follow him. You see, this story just kind of mind-boggling. It's just a little hard sometimes. But isn't this man's life more valuable than a bunch of pigs? Unfortunately, seeing the man healed is what instilled the fear. And this is when the people asked Jesus to leave their place. Leave our country, get away from here. You see, we often get our sense of security and our good feelings about ourselves when others are oppressed. That was probably one of the hardest things to think about. We often get our sense of security and our good feelings about ourselves when others are oppressed. It's a terrible idea, but it is true. Why do kids bully? Why do adults exclude others from their social groups? Why do adults pay membership dues to join exclusive communities and clubs? In order to feel a little superior, or to distance ourselves from others, to feel special. We feel that we must exclude. You see, sometimes, though, guess what? Churches can also be like this. Who would have thought such a thing could happen? Sure, we say we want all people to join. I've heard that many times. We want everybody to join. We want everybody to come. But what about the woman with all those children and no husband? What about that homeless man that shows up? It doesn't smell too good. Doesn't look too good. What about those people with a criminal background? We don't want a bunch of criminals in this place. What about those who are destitute? Lord, we don't need to take care of nobody else. I've actually had somebody tell me that or say that to me. Lord, we don't need to take care of nobody else. Got enough as it is. Gosh, we say our lives are messy enough. So when we come to church, people say we don't want to have to deal with those kinds of people. Kind of makes us a little uncomfortable sitting there, doesn't it? I've heard people say it before. I've seen it. You see, our world is safe as long as those people stay on their side of town, in the tombs with the demoniac, with the demons. Our world is safe as long as those people stay where they are, right on their side of town. If Jesus had never crossed over into the country of the Gerasenes, then this whole mess with that naked demoniac and the pigs could have been avoided. I know of a church that hosts an annual fall festival with a carnival, with games, with hay rides, with bouncing houses, and trick-or-treat. They just have the whole thing. And for years, this church claimed that this fall festival was part of their outreach to the community. But they made no effort at all to invite the community. So guess what? It might have been appointment time. I don't know. A newly hired or appointed minister of outreach just came to that church. Began to look around and began to see things and began to ask questions and began to have seen what one of those community fall festivals looked like, and decided that if the church was going to call the fall festival a community event, guess what? Then flyers would be sent to all the schools in the community. Now, what had been a church event with an attendance of approximately 100 people became a community event with about 500 people from all walks of life everywhere. The new minister thought that the church would be thrilled with such a great outpouring and all the things that were happening. But now the fall festival was actually an outreach event. Great, we've done something good. Children who went to school next door to this church would know that the church that they looked at every day was a place where they would be welcomed, a place where they could come to, a place that they could call home. Instead, guess what? That new minister heard grumbling and rumblings that some of the people in attendance were rough-looking, pastor, and some of them were very scary, preacher. Some people did not fit. Guess what? They didn't look right for the social, the racial, the economic profile of what that church looked like. So it scared the church members. They were afraid of what was happening. They were afraid when people came into their place. And a small group of those good church people proposed that the neighborhood school be excluded next year from the invitations. And the new minister should be more selective with the invitations. How very sad. How very sad for that to happen. But you know what, folks? It happens, unfortunately, all the time. And it shouldn't, because people should feel opened. When the doors say that we have open hearts, open minds, open doors, they should feel welcome. You see, if Jesus had never crossed over into the country of the Gerasenes, what did we say? Oh, this whole mess could have been avoided. Oh my goodness, yes it could have. The swine herd would not have run off the bank and drowned. The people wouldn't have had to ask Jesus to leave their country. You see, the Most High God did come to the land of the Gerasenes. He did step out of his boat, and he did meet the man face to face, because the man came running to him. The man came seeking, the man came looking, the man came yearning. You know, we as the church are the hands and feet of Christ. We are them every day, not just when we feel like it, not just when we want to, not just when something's not happening somewhere else, but every day. Every day. We are to open up our hearts and our minds to share, to love, to be that church. I think about the open arms. And when I think about the open arms, you know what image I get of open arms in this church? I think of Tegan Gilligan. She opens her arms every Sunday to everybody. Not just one, not just a few. But if she sees you and you're in her path, she's going to do what? She's going to come get you. And she might hug you two or three times. But that's what we have to be. We have to be the church. We have to have our arms open. We have to have our doors open. We have to have our minds open to say it's okay what you look like. It's okay what you smell like. It's okay. And you know, we can learn. We can stand by. We can become part of. We can learn how. And as I heard Ray and Savannah say this morning, talking about things on missions, guess what? When you go on a mission trip, when you go to share what you think you know about God and your life and your message and what you can do, what usually ends up happening? Aren't you usually more blessed than they are? Don't you usually get a better message? Don't you usually come back? Wow. You come back restored. You come back renewed. You come back wanting to do more because you have seen in people who have so little, who have almost nothing, some of the greatest gifts that you've ever seen. They are so thankful. They are so generous. They are so outpouring with what little they have. Today, when we look at this story, when we look at what God has done in the life of that naked man running around to become that clothed man sitting at the feet of Jesus learning, listening. But you know what? God wanted him to stay. He said, I want you to go back into your own community and I want them to see what has happened to you. I want them to see the difference that God has made in your life. I want them to see what you have to offer. I want them to see, and I don't want them to be afraid. I want them to be able to come forth. I want them to be able not to judge. I want them to be able to share. So today, as we come to the end of our time, I want us to think about what it is we can do as we go out from this place. What can you do in the midst of all the stuff that we see each day, of all the things that we are given each week? Sometimes it is an inconvenience. Sometimes we have to stop what we are doing. Sometimes we have to turn around and go back. Have you ever turned around and gone back and helped somebody beside the road? Have you ever said, I just don't have time today. Maybe, Lord, let somebody get him, help him the next time. And have you got down the road and been convicted and said, turn around, get yourself back, you'll, and do what you're supposed to do? That's when God's got a hold of you. That's when God says, no, I put you here today, Melinda, to do that. I didn't call anybody else, I called you. So don't think you're too important that you can't stop what you're doing and turn around and go back and do it. So that's what we have to do. Sometimes we have to stop what we're doing. Sometimes it's not pretty. Sometimes it's not going to draw the biggest crowd. Sometimes it's not going to make the most money. But it's going to be the right thing in the end. And guess what? It's going to make all the difference in your life. And it might be just the blessing that person needed that day. And guess what? You might be the one that needs the blessing. Let us pray. Lord, for this day, we do thank you always for what you do in and through our lives, for the great gift that we see each and every day, and the great blessing that we can see in the Gerasene. The man who said, my name is Legion because the demons within me called out. That's what they said, because the demons are many. So, Lord, this man that has no name, this man who had no clothes, this man who hadn't had a bath in a long time, was sitting at the feet of Jesus in just a little while, fully clothed, fully cleaned, and his spirit at peace. So, Lord, remind us each and every day of what it is you have called us to be, what it is you want us to do, how it is you want us to serve, where it is you want us to go from this place into the world, to go from this place and to take your message, to go from here and hold you close at heart. Remind us of this, not only this day, but every day. For it's in your name I pray. Amen.